Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm having such a nice conversation with Mike Steven here. I didn't even think about an open to play this morning. Hold on. I feel good.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
I have a leaky bathtub.
I don't know if it's mold, mildew, or what. I can't get rid of it.
But are you really feeling good?
But every time I turn on the heating, I have this constant banging sound on my pipes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Sounds like you need Lou. You're in luck. He's taking your calls for the next 3 hours. Here's Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Oh my God, this was such an interesting conversation that has nothing to do with home improvement. Oh, it was very good. I love Mike Steven, host of He's My Vehicle. Welcome, it's House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini. Hi, Lindsay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. James, nice to have you here this morning.
Hey, good morning,
Lou. You lost a bet. You had to work again today. Joe Brand, nice to see you as always.
Good morning. I always lose the bet.
Joe Brand, you always lose the bet. Before we get to your phone calls at 312-981-7200, by the way, our first caller, you know, wins the House Smarts Mr. Fix-It hat. We're still designing the hat. There are emails flying back and forth. I do think the hat is going to be charcoal gray. We're going with the charcoal gray.
Ooh.
And we have a little caricature of Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, on the front, which I think you'll like. But it's sponsored by my friends over at Cobblestone Development, Chicagoland's premier home remodeler for kitchens, baths, windows, siding, and more. Call Cobblestone Development at 773-661-0606 or visit cobblestonedevelopment.com. James, are you a baseball fan?
I like watching the games.
Okay. I'd like to come in on the stealing the signs baseball with the camera and the garbage can.
Let's hear your breakdown.
Stop doing it. Okay, now here's the thing in baseball. Now, Joe, I know that you are the voice of the Kane County Cougars. Were you also a baseball player, like at some point in your life?
A very bad one, yes.
But you played.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you have a position?
I liked first base a lot.
James, did you play baseball?
I played T-ball in the first grade.
T-ball, okay, so, all right, well, that's okay, because baseball in the Manfredini family was not a huge sport. Like, it was just too slow of a game. Ironically, now, it's a huge sport for the family. Like, we love to go to baseball games. Okay, I'm a pitcher, right? I'm a major league baseball pitcher, and my job is to make sure that the person at the plate is not going to hit the ball. And that person gets on first. And then the next person comes up and they get a base hit. And now there's a guy on second. In the history of the game, that guy on second base is trying to steal the signs. And that pitcher and that catcher knows it. True or false?
Pretty true.
Okay. And that's been with baseball for as long as we know. And even if the guy on third base, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem. The reason you don't want the guys on base is, and I don't even know how these signs work, right? They put their fingers between their legs and they got nail polish on, right? And they're going ta ta tu ta ti, right? Whatever, right? And I, Joe, I mean, is the signal for a slider that the Cardinals use the same thing as the signal for the Cubs?
It shouldn't be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes.
Well, then just get better about making the signs.
I have thought about this, too, and thinking, okay, let's just change up our signs every inning. But the thing that gets really complicated then, Lou, is, well, number one, it only takes one time to read the sign and read the pitch for the base runner to see it. If he sees a sign by the catcher he's never seen before, and then he sees it's a curveball, he knows that that weird sign is a curveball then.
Okay.
So the whole point is to move that around every time there's every inning or every different pitcher. But then, honestly, then you're dealing with like 13 quarterbacks on your team. Like, pitchers need to know what sign is which, when they're going to expect it, when they're going to throw it, and how to differentiate what a curveball used to look like.
My point is this. the people that used electronics and that kind of thing, you are cheaters. You're cheaters, and you should be kicked out of the game.
Well,
that is bad news. Now, if I'm looking for the sign and I'm on second base, that's part of the game, and you got to know it. And if you're worried about it, then you go to the mound and you say, hey, Joe, that guy, James Sears on second, he's looking at my signs. So look, let's throw the guy a curveball. Then that's it. That's when they got their, you know, their hand over their face and they're right. talking to each other so nobody can see what they're. And then you just do that. And then let's get out of the inning. And then here's the thing. Try not to get a guy on second base next time.
So you don't think they should wear buzzers taped to their chests either?
No. What about that whole Altuve thing I heard where his shirt and maybe had the buzzer? That guy's out. That's out. Joe, I tell my daughters this all the time when they maybe meet a man. Lindsay, I didn't tell you the story. I started to tell you the story about this. Let me tell you two things I know. People are who they are, okay? If you're a cheater, you're a cheater. Period. If you cheat in one thing, you cheat in another thing. You're a cheater. No cheaters.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Right. No cheating in baseball with electronics and cameras. That's not fair.
I hear you.
You know the guy on second base is looking for the signs. That's always been part of the game. But you don't know that there's a camera way out in the outfield that's looking at your crotch. No one said that on the radio. This hour of House Smarts Radio is brought to you by my friends at PermaSeal Basement Systems, and they're big baseball fans as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our first caller is Mary in Chicago. Mary.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Mary, we're going to send you out a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Development.
I'm so excited.
Did we get Mary's information? Right? I'm going to put you on hold when we're done talking.
Okay.
How can I help you this morning?
Have you ever heard of a way to sharpen nail clippers?
I mean, are they little ones?
Yeah, you know, for your fingernails.
Yeah. I mean, you could buy a very small file at the hardware store. Like, they have very, very small, thin files. It would be tough. But you could go along and take that edge off there. By the time you buy the file,
mm-hmm.
you could buy three new nail clippers.
Yeah, I suppose. Right. I heard that you could cut through something.
No.
No?
No.
Not like sandpaper no. or aluminum foil or
no.
anything?
No.
Well, okay. I think I'll go buy some nail foil.
Go buy some good quality stainless steel ones. That's the one you want. I'm going to put you on hold so Lindsay can get your information so we can get you out one of the House Smarts hats sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone. Their website is cobblestonedevelopment.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to... Joe Brand, do you have any idea who Peekaboo Street is?
Peekaboo Street? No.
See, there's a name that no one knows. I interviewed a woman named Susie Street. And the one thing I failed to ask her is she the daughter and or the sister of Peekaboo Street? And Peekaboo Street is?
An Olympic athlete.
An Olympic downhill skier, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she probably competed in 1990s.
Yeah.
Right?
96 and 98.
Yeah. Cute, right? She's cute. And she was a heck of a skier. I think she won, like, the bronze or something. Find it?
I did, yeah.
Peekaboo Street. When,
trying to find exactly. Oh,
Lindsay,
she won the gold.
She won the gold. Lindsay had no idea. She goes, is that her real name, Peekaboo Street? And it is. She was, like, from Utah or something, and she had, like, you know, granola parents, and that's what their name
was. She was from Triumph, Idaho.
See?
She's so, now 48 years old.
Utah, Idaho. So, in theory, Susie, does she have any kids named Susie? I should have asked this woman. How funny would that have been if I would have asked her?
That's quite a nickname, too. Well, no, that's her name.
It's her real name.
Yeah,
it's not a nickname.
But
Peekaboo.
It's spelled P-I-C-A-B-O.
Peekaboo Street.
That's
the
cool.
The things you learn on House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We've got some open phone lines. If I can help you this morning, pick up the phone and give us a call. We had a lot of snow, a lot of ice. I was out this morning. We live in Chicago. The side streets are still pretty ice covered and crunchy. So be very careful out there. It is sort of warming up a little bit. So some of the ice should go away. But we definitely want to get some ice melt out there before you go stepping out there and fall on your rear end. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. House Smarts Radio. We'll be back right after this. You know what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Well, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I
do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right
modern
now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
If I don't tell the kids this stuff, if I don't say, hey, you know who Peekaboo Street is? How are you going to know?
My favorite in that is when Joe goes, that kid really regretted asking me about.
Kids, gather around the campfire. Let me tell you a little story.
Uncle Lou wants to tell you a little bit about modern plumbing. You know why it doesn't stink? You know why when you do that it doesn't stink? Let me tell you. Look in here, right here. Let me show you. It is amazing, though. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Speaking of smells, Tom's in Palatine. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Just a quick, I'll give you an overview of what I have going. Bought a house for my daughter a couple of years ago in Palatine.
Okay.
And everything was fine up until last year. They had a little backup in the sewer line. It turned out they had like probably about 6 feet of roots growing in the sewer line, which we ultimately had that high pressure water jetted out, and they
okay.
cleaned that out. But prior to that, the basement always smelled like musty and mildewy type smell. And my wife has always put the, you know, those little bags to absorb the smell. And,
right.
And so we tore everything out of the basement, refinished the basement, and that smell is still there. So and along the way, too, we also had a sump pump pit put in for her also, you know, to relieve any of the pressure underneath the foundation.
Right.
And but it's still got that musty, mildewy smell, and we're trying to figure out how do we get rid of that.
Okay. When you you said you tore everything out. And so
right.
when you tore everything out, then we had just foundation walls and a concrete floor?
Correct.
And were the foundation walls, are they brick? Are they cinder block? What are they?
Cinder block.
Okay. And so, you know, part of the issue with a cinder block foundation wall is that it can absorb a fair amount of moisture from the outside walls, and that odor could be permeating from that. Now, you said you finished the basement, so we have a drywall wall in front of it. What's the story?
Yes, we built it out probably about 4 inches from the entire outside basement wall.
Okay,
and you know, studded it out, drywalled it. The ceiling's drywalled as well, so it's pretty, you know, airtight in the basement down there.
Mm-hmm. And when you studded out the walls and you said you're about 4 inches away, when you insulated the walls, did you just insulate the walls? And so there's a gap between the backside of the frame wall and the insulation and the foundation wall?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So here's what I want you to try and do. And this will be a little... I'm trying to, is it a rectangle? Is it a square? I'm just trying to picture.
It's a rectangle.
It's a rectangle. Okay. So, on the biggest wall, like the longest run of the wall down low, let's say a couple feet up from the floor, I want you to cut in a cold air return between two studs near the corner on the long wall. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then I want you to, on the other end of that wall, put another cold air vent. The whole idea is I want to ventilate behind this wall.
Okay.
Because I think your moisture is back in there. And this is what I want you to try and do as a test. I assume we have a dehumidifier.
Yes.
Okay. Near one of those vents, I want you to put a dehumidifier. Near the other vent, I want you to put a box fan blowing in.
Okay.
Now, this is a test, okay, of the emergency musty smell basement system. And the idea is I want to circulate that air on that longest wall, and I want to get that air flowing behind that wall, and I want you to capture that. Hopefully you'll feel, you know, some pressure coming out of that other vent, and that dehumidifier is going to take that away. Now, I'm assuming that this time of year it's a little less, or it's the same?
It's kind of the same, to be honest with you.
Okay. So let's try this, because if this works, then what you could do is that, okay, and so the other thing, too, when you put that vent in there, you know, your daughter may say, oh, but Dad, now it's cold. Well, you can always put a magnet over the top of them. You know, they get these magnet vent covers that you can use to in the wintertime. But the idea is, if this works, you can buy a fan that will fit in that cold air return.
Oh, yeah.
That will and you're going to actually use it in reverse to force some air through this and then out. The other thing is, if this works, then what we may have to do is figure out a way to put an exhaust fan in on the floor plate above the wall. You may have to cut it in so that you can draw air out from that pocket. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
So then you'd put a foundation exhaust fan up there that you'd set up with the humidistat. You're going to have to monkey around and get this to work, you know, and get the electrical whatever. You may have to cut open the wall to do this. But I bet you that smell is coming from the foundation because it's block and it's coming between that space. And if this long wall, you're successful in that, then you may, Tom, need to do it around on all four walls.
Right.
But if she's going to stay there, then this makes the most sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that sounds like a great idea.
Well, it'd be a great idea if it works.
Yeah, well, hey, at this point, you know, we've tried pretty much. I was going to buy that air purifier, like one of those little, like a dehumidifier, but the air purifier machine.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Right. I mean, you can also do something like, you know, you've heard me talk about the product FreshWave. They make a FreshWave gel. And you could, where, you know, if you put, when you do this vent thing for the test with the dehumidifier on the pressure side where the fan's blowing in, you can take a container of this FreshWave gel and set that near the fan. As the fan blows around there, you can blow that through that wall, and then it'll capture the odor and pull it all out, and that should help as well.
Oh, great. That sounds awesome. I'll give it a try.
You got it. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate you calling. Real quick, you know, my son's getting married. He got engaged, and we're super happy about that. So, of course, all we're doing is talking about engagement parties and whatever. And so my future daughter-in-law, Amy, sent us, we're going to host an engagement party. Actually, I was talking with Joe about this. So she sent some ideas of some different spots. This is amazing karma. Did I tell you this story yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. One of the places that she found for an engagement party is a old firehouse that is now an event space, an old Chicago firehouse that's now an event space. And she just sent this to my wife. And so she's like, huh, it's the old Engine 70 house on Rosemont. That's the neighborhood that I grew up in. Hmm. My wife says that. I think my grandfather was the chief in that firehouse.
No way.
And lo and behold, he was.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so my future daughter-in-law randomly finds this space. We go yesterday just to go look at it, which is totally cool. It's an old firehouse, and they have, like, these two levels, and, like, the upstairs where the fire men and women used to hang out and live, you know? And then in the front of the firehouse are the captain's quarters where her grandfather would have slept. Is that so cool?
That is cool.
It was, like, sent chills down our spines to think about that, right? Yeah. Isn't that so cool that randomly my daughter-in-law finds this space? Really cool space.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they do complete weddings there, like a whole thing. They got an outdoor space, and it was really cool.
So when they got to clean up, all they could do is just hose the floor and just...
Hey-o! He's here all weekend, folks. Enjoy the veal. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, you can't do everything. Sometimes you need a little help. That's where Lou comes in, and he's taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
You're not alone. Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN, 7:33 in the morning.
It'll all be clear.
Oh, I got another quick little thing to do. Joe, this is good for you and your young friends. You know that guy that hosts mornings here on WGN Radio? Or not mornings, late mornings, John Williams? What do you call that, late morning?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Is that a midday? It's not a midday, right? It's like, I guess it would still be the morning, right?
Late morning.
Nine, whatever.
Sure.
He and I met for a little cocktail. We had a little mandate, two of us, because his wife is out of town for like a month. And we went to the Hotel Zachary. Have you been to the Hotel Zachary?
I have not, but I've heard great things.
Okay, so it's right across the street from Wrigley Field. This is something for everybody to put on their list. When there's not a game day, go to the Hotel Zachary and go have a drink. It's they got an ice rink out there. It's really pretty. And you can park. It's like it's an experience if you're a Cubs fan. You can never park in that neighborhood, but right now it's a great thing to do. But listen to this. They have a balcony that faces Wrigley Field. So that Gallagher Way, that little outdoor park area that's to the west of the ballpark, Joe?
Mm-hmm. The triangle.
The triangle there. So on this balcony, Lindsay, this has you written all over it. We should do a party there. They have three tents set up on the balcony. Okay? They look like, remember the TV show MASH? They look like army tents.
Okay.
Okay? So they're completely closed in. You open up the tent. It's like a picture out of L.L. Bean. They have a wood-burning potbelly stove in each one of the tents.
Mm-hmm.
And you reserve it, and you and like up to 10 people can hang out in this tent.
Fun.
And all you have to do is, like, I think during the week, don't quote me on the price, because I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like, right as I'm leaving, there's this couple, I go, you should go look at the tents. And they're like, yeah, we reserved it. I'm like, oh, well, then you know all about it.
World's best cup of coffee. Congratulations.
You got to like spend $150 during the week and you get the tent. Well, if you had 10 people.
Oh, I see.
Right? Like food and booze or whatever.
You have a minimum to spend.
A minimum to spend. And then I think on the weekends it's a little higher.
Yeah.
But it was the cutest thing.
So cute.
Right on that I mean, the thing is, you can't see out of the tent. Like there's no, like you're in the tent.
Right.
Like you're glamping. Mm-hmm. There's like a couch and there's a bearskin rug and there's this potbelly stove. It was super warm and cool.
Mm.
So you and John Williams just
sat in the tent,
cuddling
cuddled. Come here, John. Let me tell you a story. I read him
about indoor plumbing.
I read him my favorite children's book, Fix It Duck. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Diane is downstate. Hi, Diane. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
We added on to our house, and we added on a laundry room. A kitchen. We remodeled the kitchen, added on a laundry room and a family room.
Okay.
Our canned lighting in the ceiling, we have like 3 to 4 lights that are just flashing. And when I replaced one of them with a new bulb, it wouldn't even light.
Hmm.
So is that a wiring problem?
Are they on a dimmer or are they on a switch?
They're on a switch. No dimmer.
No dimmer. And is it a... single pole switch or a three-way? Can you turn the lights on in different parts of the room?
Yes, we can turn them on in different parts of the room.
Okay. And the bulbs that you're using on these can lights, are they just conventional like halogen bulbs?
Yes. I feel like they're very good quality.
Okay. And do you know the wattage of the bulb that you put in?
No, I would have to look.
Okay. So what it may be, so there's a couple different things it could be. In can lights, when you use regular incandescent bulbs or, you know, now halogen bulbs, there is a heat sensor in the can light that if it were to overheat, it shuts it off, and that flashing could be caused by that.
Okay.
So one thing to try is to look at the fixture. There'll be a sticker on there, and you cannot exceed the size of the bulb that it's rated for. So it may say 60 watts. And now keep this in mind. This is for incandescent and or halogen bulbs. The thing with halogen bulbs, which is now, you know, we don't really have incandescents anymore except for specialty accent lights. But with those down lights that you would use, halogen, if that's what you're using, tend to run a little hotter than traditional incandescent bulbs. And so if you said, oh, I need a lot of light in here and put 100 watt in there, it could be that that's overheating and that sensor is what's flashing. So the first thing I would try is to switch out those bulbs. And one of the things you could do, if it's just a switch, is use LED downlights, which create really no heat. And so if you want it nice and bright in that space, did you say it's a laundry room?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
want a laundry room, a kitchen, and a family room.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't necessarily want it to be super bright. But, you know, you could change. And so if it's just, is it just a couple of the cans that do this or all of them?
Just a couple. I have four that are doing it.
So I think it's probably that the bulbs you have are too big, meaning that they're over the size of what's rated on the can light. When you take the bulb out, if you look carefully inside the housing of it, it'll be silver or might be white. There should be a sticker. Do not exceed what that says.
What that says.
Now,
okay.
If you switch this out and you say, Lou, you're crazy, it still flickers, well, then that heat sensor in the can light might need to be replaced. That's not an uncommon thing to have happen. The next thing would be to test the connections at the switch, but I doubt that's it. I bet it's all based on the can light itself.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Rick, who is in Lake Zurich. Rick, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I have a question about a fireplace, Lou. My wife and I decided to have our fireplace converted to the gas.
Okay.
You know, the gas insert. So, because we really haven't used it much in the last several years, maybe half a dozen times.
Right.
So we decided to have it checked first for cleaning. So they came out yesterday, and they did, and they said actually there was very little creosote buildup. They did say that the flue caps needed to be replaced because they were rusty, which whether it makes the difference or not, I don't know, but we did have that done. But then they said that they took pictures of the inside, and there was some areas that were rough. Of course, the house was built back in the 70s.
Right.
And we've been here for over 30 years, and they said, well, really, those should be smoothed out. Otherwise, it doesn't vent as well as it should, and it can absorb, I don't know whether it's heat or what. And so and it's rather expensive to have it done. So I
But this thought, is well, this is a this is that, a this is a yeah. This is a gas fireplace.
It will be a gas fire. Yes, it will. It'll be a gas. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I wondered.
Here's the thing with gas fireplaces. I mean, it's always a good idea to have the chimney inspected and clean. But once you go strictly to gas, there is no longer any creosote buildup. I mean, this is a clean burning appliance now. You know, it's really a version of your cooktop, right? Your gas cooktop is
right.
Basically
okay.
What it is. And so you don't get any creosote buildup. Sure, if there's a little bit of a lip, it can grab a little bit more heat. But by the time that heat gets up there and it flows out of there, that is a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. And as long as it's solid, nothing's falling down, and, you know, okay, you replace the caps, they're not rusty anymore, that's great, it all looks good. Fire that thing up and enjoy it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. I appreciate you calling as well. I mean, I got to tell you, I do love the crackle of a real wood-burning fireplace. I think it's great. We have a gas fireplace in our house here in Chicago, and we use it all the time. And it's a really good log kit. And, I mean, when you're sitting at the couch looking at it, it looks amazing, right? You have a gas fireplace in your basement, right? Didn't you convert all that? And are you using it a lot?
I'll use it every day.
Every day.
Even in the summer.
It's 90 degrees out.
It's
she's looking at
there.
It. But it's so easy
yeah.
to use. And the visual of it, it looks really nice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to maintain and to just click that button. And,
yeah. I mean, there's nothing like when you go to like a hotel or something when they got that real wood-burning fireplace
right.
and it's fired up. But then, you know, they have somebody that's looking at this thing all the time. So,
right.
you know, that's a lot of fun. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to the city of Chicago where Donna is. Hey, Donna, you're on WGN.
Hello,
hi Donna. I can. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Should have called you earlier. I purchased new cabinets and had them installed. I'm not going to go into the dilemma.
that I'm in. I started in November. We're not done yet.
Okay.
Long story short, I had ordered an island. And the island that I ordered was a 24-inch deep, but it turned out to be too big. Very quickly, I have a Chicago bungalow, so the kitchen is rectangle. So you have like an L-shaped kitchen with a peninsula. I moved the peninsula back against the wall, and I extended it, thinking that that would work with two tall cabinets. The measurer never told me that it was blocking my window, and I shouldn't do that. But that's another story. The island, I exchanged for an 18-inch base. So I put the casters on like we did before. Now it tips over. So I found if I throw...
Wait. You have an island that you put casters on?
Yes, a mobile island, so I can move it back and forth.
I understand. Yes. Okay. All right, just trying to...
I saw it on HGTV.
Well, then it must be good.
No, other companies said that they do that, but okay. No one ever said what base to use. So I did that, but now it tips over. So I put heavy-duty weights on the other side. The side that tips over is the side with the two doors and the front door. So I put weights on the opposite side so that I could even it out. So now I have to order a countertop, a quartz. So recommendations were put the overhang that I wanted, like 10 inches, on the opposite side so it will balance out the side with the door and the cabinet door, or I've got to go get myself some heavy-duty weights to balance it out so it doesn't tip over. Okay. Now, it does have locks, so it is locked, and I didn't see it tip over when it was locked, but it could.
Wait. Okay, hold on a second. I'm nervous for you. This is an 18-inch deep island.
Yes, I had to make it that way.
Okay, so
it was too big for my kitchen.
It's 18 by what?
42.
Okay. Now, on top of that top, you're going to put a piece of quartz or something, just a flat working surface, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to put, and so you're going to have 18, which is going to overhang on the one side like an inch and a half. So now we're at 19 and a half. And then we're going to go another foot over the other side?
I wanted to make it like a breakfast bar island that
Got
I could
it.
Move and use. So the opposite side that doesn't have the drawers and the doors, I would put the 10 inches on that side. Side won't tip over.
All right, hear me out here, because this is what you need to do if you want to make this work from a standing position. Whatever size you make the top on the bottom of this cabinet, okay, so I'm looking at the cabinet, right? It's 42 inches wide, and I am on the sink side, right, looking at it, and then the overhang is on the other side, correct?
If you put it by the sink, but
okay,
I don't
Okay, well, yeah,
to
you
put
can
it
put it wherever
the-
you want. Okay.
Right.
On the bottom of that cabinet, you need to have installed some sort of finished kicker that gets installed that is the same depth as the countertop is on top. And that caster needs to go on the front when you're standing on the drawer side. And then the other caster needs to go on that part that's sticking out that's at the same level as the top. Now, this is a little bit of finished carpentry. You can either angle a brace back to the cabinet to give that some strength, or you could come out with it and actually put some decorative posts that would come up and grab the top of the countertop to give you some strength there. If you do not make the base the same width and size as the top, this thing's going to fall over on you when you bump up against it or whatever, and you're going to shatter that top and damage the floor and cry. I'm going to cry.
It tips over now without a top.
I understand.
I don't have the top on.
I understand. That's why we need to extend. So the weight of the top is going to help you, right? Because it's going to push down.
Right.
But imagine that top, right? It's going to be 44 inches wide, and it's going to be 18, 19 and a half, 29 and a half. It's going to be 32 inches deep. I need legs on the bottom of the cabinets that extend that same 30 inches from the front to the back. Otherwise, and then it needs to be braced. Otherwise, this thing will still tip. Does that make sense?
This is a brand new cabinet that I ordered.
You're not going to do anything to the cabinet. You're just going to attach runners on the bottom of this thing to the bottom of the cabinet so that you can attach your casters to.
So I have to take my casters off now.
And then you're going to re-put them back on under these braces, or this thing will tip over and you will have a disaster on your hand. You have to do it this way. With that thin of a cabinet and you put that weight of the top on there, it's just going to tip over. No questions asked. I can tell you that for sure. It visually, if you do this right and you have a carpenter that does a nice job with that, what I'm talking about, that leg that comes out of the back and then picks it up, you can use a nice decorative post or you can angle it back. It'll look really nice, and then you'll have the ability to kind of move this thing around at will or lock it in place, whatever you want, when you want it there, and it'll work out just fine. And it'll be, it'll definitely be a conversation piece for sure. People will look at it and go, wow, look at that. You can move that thing around. That's amazing. I like that. But you have to extend that. I hope I'm making that clear. That leg on the bottom of the cabinet needs to go on the bottom, extend back where the overhang is, and the casters have to go there so that the base is as wide as the top you put on there. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:50 in the morning. My name's Lou Manfredini. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. The radio station is WGN. We'll be right back.
Hey, Sydney.
Hey, what?
Knock, knock.
Today.
Lou.
Lou who?
Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
A mom down that funny. Mustang Sally.
You know how we get reporters that are out on the street, and you know they when there's a bad storm, they'll have somebody out at the you know the yeah, that's salty out here. Oh, the snow is coming.
Don't be careful how you walk.
Be careful.
Like this.
Walk like this, and then they tell you how to walk in the ice. My wife just sent a text to Lindsay, and I said, tell people to get out there and shovel and salt right away, or they're screwed. So that is your official from my wife who's walking the dogs. Right. So funny. Our little dog, the little dog Flo, yes. Who can't stand when it rains, mm-hmm. like she's out of her mind. Mm-hmm. But this dog loves the snow. Mm-hmm. Like when she goes out and sees the snow, she takes off. Like I don't know where she's going. She's got one of those retractable leashes, you know, and she's like, God, she's like, wants to be like, put her pads in the snow. It's so funny.
Does she wear booties?
She does not, but we do use Musher's Secret when it's really cold. Yeah. The snow doesn't bother her, but when it's really cold outside and the ice, it's this little stuff we sell it at our hardware stores.
Yeah.
It's like a little, you know what it is? It's Carmex for the bottom of the, they use it.
It's a balm.
It's a balm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have a little dog with the pads like that, check it out. Musher's Secret. Very good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here at WGN Radio. This is Rachel in Central Illinois. Where are you in Central Illinois, Rachel?
Well, I'm in a small town called Knoxville, Illinois.
Where's that?
It's between Peoria and the Quad Cities. Off of 74, Interstate 74.
Very nice.
So I guess you could say it's the heart of Illinois, really.
Yeah, I like that area.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah,
how can I help you this morning?
Well, I recently house sat for a friend who had a water softener, a whole house water softener.
Okay.
And I was amazed at how my skin and hair felt after I showered. Now, I live in an apartment.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Okay.
I have something else I want you to do, too. You know what I started using? Castile soap. Do you use that?
How do you spell that?
I don't. How do you spell Castile soap?
I think it's Castile.
Castile soap. It was invented in Spain in the 1400s, and it's like an all-natural thing. And one of the things is Dr. Bronner's is the one that makes it. They make a liquid as well. What are you laughing at?
Okay.
So I did a segment on the Today Show and on WGN TV too on natural cleaners. And this Castile soap is super good for your skin. It's oil based. It's like they use oil, mm-hmm. but it's a soap. Mm-hmm. It's so smooth and lathery on your skin. I got to tell you, my skin feels great. Joe, why are you laughing at me? Why is everybody laughing at me? I'm trying. This has to do with the home. What? Where do you shower? In your home.
You're right.
Okay. Right. Back to you, Rachel.
But it is a great. You can use it for everything.
You can use it for everything. You
can brush your teeth with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Don't brush your teeth with it.
You can really do it.
Oh. Well, not the bar soap.
Well,
but the liquid. Yeah. Right. But Rachel,
Rachel,
this is not about me. This is about you. How can I help you? Okay, so you live in an apartment. They have a softener. Your skin feels amazing. You're not using the Castile soap, but you may.
Okay, yes, I may. But then after I got home, I thought, well, I wonder if they make water softeners for just like the shower head. And I saw that there are some online, but are they worth the powder to blow up? I mean, do they even work? Or should I just resign myself to getting Dr. Bronner's
soap? Here's the thing. I haven't done my research on lately. I do remember years ago that there were softeners that you put on a shower head. And is it the one that you looked at, did it have a little container where the water would flow through, like you would add a little salt to it?
They have several different things. Well, it's salt, minerals, and then I see vitamin C and E added. And I don't know if it's a hoax or what. I didn't want to go out and buy one.
So
and
the one thing that I will tell you, the way a traditional water softener works is, I am a believer in salt based water softeners, and so you'll add whatever whether it's pellets or a block of salt. It regenerates. So in other words, it takes a bunch of, it flows water through the brine tank, and it softens that water, and then it goes into a holding tank, and then that treated water that, takes a while to get treated as it flows through, then that gets mixed in when you turn the water on with the water that comes out of the shower, out of the head. What would concern me is that with those showerhead ones, it has to happen that fast. See what I mean?
That's exactly what a review said there's no way that these can work just
correct
because of exactly what you said, Lou.
Correct.
It just can't happen that quickly.
No, and so it has to be treated, and it has to be held there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then it kind of siphons through, like you're making a Shirley Temple, right? You're making a little 7-Up and grenadine, and then you got a Shirley Temple. But if it happens too quickly, I don't think it softens the water, and I don't think it's as
okay.
What I would do is go to, do you have an Ace Hardware store out there in,
I'm afraid we don't. We don't. We used to years ago, but it shut down, and that was a sad day because it was all local people that could help you rather than the big box stores that have younger folks that don't know what in the world they're talking about.
Pete McMurray texted me that it's near. You're near Galesburg, right? Yeah, you said that. Near
I
Galesburg.
Am.
Yeah, so anyway,
yes.
Go get a bar of Castile soap in your apartment and use that.
That's
for
what I'm
here's what
do.
I want you to do. I want you to use it for a week, and I want you to call me back and tell me how super soft your skin is.
Okay.
Not you.
I will do that.
Right. She's going to call me back. Thank you. Have a good
day. All righty.
Thanks, Rachel. I'm going to take a quick break, right? And then we're going to go to news. Don't go anywhere. Now, I hadn't been to the lumberyard in a while. I'm so comfortable there. It's like my happy place.
Hey, we all have our things.
I don't know how else to describe it.
Feel accepted.
Lou just really likes the lumberyard.
You know how, like, if you go to a spa and they go and they like, oh, here's some cucumber water or whatever it might be that they give you? Well, what would they give you at a spa? I don't know.
If you ask me, I take the spa. But this is why people like me need people like Lou.
I was just so happy.
He's taking your calls right now.
I'm a simple man.
Lou Manfredini.
Or complicated. Depends on how you look at it.
And House Smarts Radio.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. I'm having my Seattle Sutton breakfast right now, a delicious thing of yogurt and some kind of little muffin that's delicious. Let's go back to the phone lines now and see what we can do to help some people out this morning. This is Amy in Elgin. Hey, Amy, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, how can I help you?
Well, we bought a house a couple of years ago in Elgin. It's a 1908, really beautiful house.
Nice.
And the electricity has been updated in the basement and the main floor. However, it still has mab and tube in the upstairs and the attic. And we've had 8 or 9, I can't remember now, electricians come to update it, and they all refuse to do it for various reasons.
Well, what are some of the reasons?
Too much work, too hard, going to be too expensive. One guy actually agreed to do it, but then he his doctor told him to retire.
So, yeah, I'll do it. You know what? I would do it, but my doctor told me to retire.
What is that now?
Well, boy, that's interesting. You know, it's interesting. I do not hear that much anymore about knob and tube because it's just, you know, time has gone on and most of that stuff gets just redone, you know, over the years. It's interesting to me that they would do half of the house when they did it and not up above. Now, the first floor and upstairs, the existing receptacles and stuff that you have, is it that they don't want to cut open the walls? Is that what they don't want to do?
Maybe.
I mean, because that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, they've all said that they were going to do that, and some of the quotes were including, you know, fixing the walls and some weren't. We never balked at any of the prices. We said we'll pay whatever, but they just, they would call back and say, no, we're not going to do it.
Can you tell me about what, like, give me a range of what kind of bids you were getting?
5,000 to 6,000.
Okay. And so you have an updated electrical service to the home, correct? Okay, so really it's a question of, we got to redo these receptacles and switches and whatnot, but, and then connect it to the existing panel, and then we're good to go.
Right.
All right. Well, here's what I would do. You have to do this. I mean, you know, this is from a safety perspective, this is it's an issue for you that I think you have to get done. So... Mm-hmm. One place that I would start is in Chicagoland, and they represent even out by you in Elgin. There's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And Lindsay, remember when we interviewed the 134 electricians and they had a website that I told them I didn't like? Like, I wanted it to be like don'tputyourtongueonit.com and or Sparky, get a Sparky right now. Okay, so they represent not only union electricians, but union contractors as well. Are you going to spend a little bit more on that? Yeah, but you're going to get people to really know what they're doing. And they're not going to be afraid of the work. And so I would start there. We're searching for the website because it's not an easy website. It's the 134 Electrical Union. 134 is the Chicagoland union that represents electricians. And they have like a really long, you know, www.ibew.blah, blah, 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 blah. She's looking for it. She's looking. I see a smile on her face, a twinkle in her eye. You got it?
It's just IBEW. Wait, no, no, no. Blah, blah. Sorry, that's just confusing.
Do you have a pen or a pencil ready, Amy?
Yes, I'm already.
All right.
Yep.
Go.
LU134.org.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, at that point, they might as well make it LOU134. It could be Lou.
Now you're confusing her.
Right, no, don't.
Now I've got it written down. I like the jokes.
Go to them. Tell them we spoke. Tell them you have this issue. And if they say to you, oh, no, we can't do it, say, Lou said you can.
I will. I'll use your name.
Absolutely. Please do, Amy. Good luck, okay?
Okay. All right. Bye, Charlie.
Yeah, you got to get that done. I don't hear a lot about the knob and tube anymore. And if you have that in your home, that really is something you need to save money on and budget for, because long term, that is just a spark and a fire waiting to happen, and it is just not worth it. All right. It's 8:17 in the morning. It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
You know how there's always that one thing in a room that draws you in? Well, it's hard to beat the beauty and elegance of granite and quartz countertops. And Tom has the most enormous selection in Chicagoland. Over 400 in stock. Whether you want classic and understated or bold and exotic, you're going to find a look that'll elevate your home's wow factor. Adding granite or quartz enhances the value of your home, and the prices cannot be beat. Another reason I always stop to see what's new at Builder's Supply Outlet.
Let's face it. This time of year, you want heat, and you want it now. If that's not happening, trust the experts at ABC and consider it done. Our certified technicians are ready to bring the heat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Consider it warm. Consider it comfortable. But most of all, consider it done. Schedule today at 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com. ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Consider it done.
So by now, you've probably heard me talk about the success I had in 2019 while being on Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating Program. I set a goal to be healthier, lose some weight, and the benefits have been remarkable. I'm maintaining my 35-pound weight loss. My blood pressure is under control. My cholesterol is normal. And my plan is to continue to be healthy in 2020 as well. I went to a doctor's appointment. I went to go see the dermatologist. I hadn't seen her in a while. I love my dermatologist. She's very nice. She's like, oh my gosh. Like, she walked into the room. How much weight have you lost? That's the first thing she said. And I was like, hopefully my skin is looking good. You know, I use Castile soap.
For the last week.
For the last week. Actually, I think I just started yesterday. Anyway, my blood pressure is under control. My cholesterol is normal. And I am going to be healthy in 2020. I'm telling you, this whole thing has changed the way I think about myself. And I don't know how else to describe it. I have to tell you, this is not a burden. I mean, you and I talk about this all the time. I talk about this ad nauseum with my wife. But I feel like a different person. And you can do this as well. If you want to make a healthier choice in 2020, then call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating at 800-442-3438. Your good health is their mission at Seattle Sutton. Food tastes great. It's easy to get started. And if you stick with the plan, you will see the results. Here's the thing. There's no commitment required, and you have the ability to pause at any time. But I'm going to tell you this. You set your goal and do it for 6 months. In your head, you say, I'm going to do the Seattle Sutton. I'm going to do it for 6 months. If you stay on this plan, I am telling you for sure, you will see results, and you're going to feel great. Call them now, 800-442-3438. Happy New Year, and happy new you in 2020 with help from SeattleSutton.com.
For news at 10, watch WGN, Mike Matier, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some more. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WG. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's a good one. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I love the internet. Jim is in Lake of the Ozarks. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Love your show.
Love you, Jim. Tell me what it is like at Lake of the Ozarks right now.
It is rainy. We got Thursday. It's warm, though. It's 43 degrees, but the lake water looks like mud.
Really?
But it's 43 degrees, so I'll take it.
Is the water level around those lakes high as well?
It is. What they do down here in the January till March, they like to drop the lake level 6 feet at the dam.
Right.
They can't do. They got storms last week, and it's actually a little bit above full pool right now, so wow. They're having trouble getting where they want to get it. So.
How long have you been down there?
We just bought this little house at the end of last year, and we've been down here on weekends here and there working on it. We're down here right now just making it ours, trying to tweak it a little.
Do you still live up in the Chicagoland area?
I do. We're from Harvard.
Oh, okay. So how long does it take you to get there from Harvard?
A long time. It's about, if it's full driving, it's 7.5 hours, but with stops. But we take the that Chicago, I just found it, the Chicago-Kansas City Expressway, and it's just different four-lane roads that wander through, and it's awesome. There's no traffic.
That's really good roads.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, congratulations to you and your bride. That's awesome. How can I help you this morning?
Well, we're in debt up to our eyeballs, but we've never been high.
Oh, you can't take it. You can't take it with you.
That's what I said.
Right.
What we have, Lou, is we have a very small, it's a really small house. It's a 1,200 square foot home. It's three bedrooms, but it's two levels. And there's a furnace room, and it does not have a washer dryer. So we removed the, it was like the tank water heater was 30 years old. So that was a wash. And the plumber, we put in a tankless heater, a Rinnai, and the water down here is harder in the back of your head. So we also put in a small water softener. It's like a European model or something. It's tiny, but it only holds like a half a bag of salt. But they really suggested that because of the water quality.
Right.
My question is, how should I leave this when we come home? Should I turn the gas off to the, it's a propane heater. Should I turn the gas off to that and drain it? Or what do you think?
Well, do you... You leave the so wait it's a pro, so it's propane so your furnace is a gas is a propane furnace,
correct?
And you leave that on when
we
you
do.
Leave.
We leave. Yep, we leave it at like 55 degrees. We shut the water off to the house, but we have we set the thermostat to like 55 degrees.
Yeah, and your on demand water heater does not have a circulating pump on it, so when it's off, it's off.
Right.
No, I would just, go ahead.
My concern is having that, it's softened water. He did put the flush bibs on for me.
For the on-demand system so you can flush it annually.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. But having that softened water sitting in there, should I just leave it?
Just leave it.
Leave it like
just
that?
Just leave it. Yeah, just that's fine. It. Because it's, here's the thing. that actually helps you because it can help a little bit of the decalcification. And the fact that you're, it seems like you're kind of on a regular, you know, once a week kind of going down there or, you know, every couple of weeks, whatever it might be, you're having that system be down for a week and not being used is fine. Do you have internet service at the house?
We do.
And do you leave that on?
We do. Actually, my heating and cooling guy, we're trying to find people down here. So my heating and cooling guy's coming today because I put a Wi-Fi thermostat in. So, and actually, it's a Honeywell, and it has an alarm on it to let me know if it drops below the thing. So,
perfect. And then you know what else you can do with that Honeywell? There's an add-on sensor that you can put on it that you can put in the mechanical room to put down on the floor. And if something were to leak, that sensor will go off and send you the same signal.
Okay.
So, you know, as you, I mean, even though you're going to shut the water, I mean, we have a second, my wife and I have a second home in southeastern Wisconsin as well. And during the winter months, I shut down the, are you on, you're on a well, I assume?
We are. It's a community well. There's a bunch of us. It's like an association.
Got it. So you don't have the pump in your place.
No.
You just have a valve. So I shut down the pump and the valve when I leave just in the wintertime. Even though I keep the furnace on. Actually, we're going to talk today with a woman from Moen because they make this thing called Flow by Moen, which is something you would install to the main system that kind of gets used to your water usage. And if it senses a leak, it'll shut the water off automatically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's a professionally installed system. But, you know, if you shut the water off when you're not there and you use this, you know, thermostat, so you set it at 40 degrees or not 40, but, you know, 55 degrees, whatever, you know, when it's really cold, you're paying attention to it. You take a look at it. I mean, the nice thing down there, I mean, I know it gets cold overnight, but you don't get the kind of, it doesn't get 20 degrees and lower than that, does it?
No, not for very long. It was cold when we got down here.
Yeah.
And it was sleeting. Icing, but now it's 43 degrees.
Man, the beauty part of these thermostats is that, you know, you're driving down there, you can fire it up and put it to 70 degrees, so it's nice and warm when you're there.
Right, right, right. And we're not down here, like, it's like maybe monthly now.
That's fine.
This time of year.
That's fine. Yep, water heater, you can keep that in that water. No, do not, here's the thing, if you drain that down, this is the problem with this, Jim. You start draining that down and you introduce the air into the system, that's when you get rust and buildup. By okay, keeping the sense. Water in it, then you don't get the rust.
Okay.
Right?
Well, the nice thing, this is a really small house, and all the appliances are on that end. I mean, the longest run to the upstairs bathroom is like 12 feet. Seriously. So, I mean, this thing, it's awesome. I love it.
That's awesome.
I
good for you.
It's expensive for the water heater, but, man, it's this is really, I'm really happy with it.
Remember that when you're paying all those bills.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, those never stop. The water might stop, but the
right,
never stop.
Right. Well, I appreciate you calling. Have a nice trip.
You too. Thanks, Lou. Bye-bye.
You got it. Bye-bye. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini, and he's taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, America. How are you?
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. You know, if you have a home, chances are you have water in that home. And the last thing you want to have is a leak when it comes to the domestic water that is flowing through the home. Joining me on the phone line is Susie Street, who is the Moen Product Manager, Digital and IoT. Susie, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Before I ask you all about the tail end of your title, tell me a little bit about Moen as a company. I'm super familiar, but maybe for our listeners, maybe a little snapshot about who you people are.
Sure. So yeah, at Moen, we've been making beautiful bath and kitchen and shower fixtures for the past 80 years. We're a very well-known plumbing company in the industry. Actually, for the past couple of years, we've been named America's most trusted faucet brand. So we've had some years of experience within the plumbing industry in terms of bath fixtures. Bath and kitchen fixtures.
I have installed more Moen Monticello vanity faucet systems than I can shake a stick at, which is probably, you know, the bread and butter of your company. But I know that, you know, with a lot of companies, it's all about innovation and trying to go to the next level to try and help their customers and grow their business. You now have created a partnership, the Flow by Moen Smart Water Detector, which might be one of those products that people don't know they need, but once they find out what it can do, it might be one of those things they can't live without.
Yes, definitely. So like I said, we've been making bath and kitchen fixtures, beautiful style and design for the past 80 years, and you know, as we grow with our product development, we're always looking for ways to make people's lives easier and improve their experiences with water. And thinking about water in the home, we've done it for so long, coming out of your faucets in your bathroom, in your kitchen. Why not control all of the water in your entire home? Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, everybody has an experience with water daily. And this product line that we're going to be talking about today, the Flow by Moen water security portfolio, is all about monitoring all the water in your home. So the idea of water security and not only interacting with our products as you use them every day, but also just knowing that your house is secure from water damage.
So describe what this product is, where it gets installed, and how it can help protect people in their homes.
Sure. You mentioned the Smart Water Detector, which is something new we're launching within the Flow by Moen portfolio this year. But early last year, so about a year ago, we launched a partnership with Flow Technologies, which was a startup company out of Culver City, California. They invented a product that we felt very passionate about, and their inventor was actually a plumber. He had an experience where he came home from vacation and his whole second floor had been flooded, which leaked down to his first floor from a broken washing machine line. Mm. So he invented a product and said, "This will never happen to me again." And we as Moen are obviously very passionate about water in the entire home, and the product partnership with Flow Technologies just made sense. So what the product is that he invented is a inline water monitoring and leak detection device. So it's one device per home. It's a connected product, which means essentially you can control it remotely from your smartphone app wherever you are. So that the idea of being able to make sure your home is secure no matter where you are in the country or the world. So it's a one device that hooks into your main water line and monitors all the water coming in your home. So it's going to notify you if you have a small pipe vulnerability behind a wall, and then in the event of a catastrophic leak, it will actually automatically shut your water off to protect your home from catastrophic water damage.
So does the system, though, kind of learn about your water usage? Because I would think that, I mean, obviously what it must be sensing is the flow of water, right? And and so, you know, maybe you're a family of four or family of six. And, you know, in the mornings, everybody's taking showers and you're using a lot of water. The system must go into some sort of learning capability, right, to understand, like, okay, this is normal, but hey, it's 2 in the afternoon and there's water running like crazy. What's going on?
Exactly. So what we like to say is that's the smart side of the product. So there's machine learning algorithms built into this device that actually will learn your home's behavior. So when you first install it for the first 7 to 10 days, that's exactly what it's doing. It's watching how you use water. So if you're a family of four and you have, you know, three little kids and they're all taking showers at a certain time, the device actually is going to recognize that as normal water usage. So it uses three sensors, flow rate, temperature, and pressure, and then it also uses time. So it's totalizing that usage and understanding how and what's normal for your home's water usage.
Right.
And then outside of those 7 to 10 days, that's when it's starting to look for abnormal usage. So it's going to take some time to learn, and then after that, it's basically saying, okay, this isn't normal. We're going to either notify you and say, hey, we think you have a small drip behind the wall, or in the event of a catastrophic leak, if it senses a high loss of pressure and large flow rate for a long period of time, it's going to say, whoa, this is not right. We're going to shut the water off to the home just to make sure and allow the user to assess what's going on.
Now, is this a product that, you know, if you install it, that monitoring, is there a fee to the homeowner for that monitoring? Is it like a separate monitoring service that you have to pay for?
So we recommend that a plumber installs the product. So we do recommend
This is going into your main line. It probably needs some type of electrical connection, I would imagine.
Correct.
Right? And so you need a professional to install this. But then after that, it's not like I'm paying a monthly fee to Moen to monitor this.
Nope. So we have an app that goes along with the product that's totally free. You get all the functionality you would need to monitor and protect your home through that app. So you get to see your water usage. So you can start understanding how many gallons you use a day, a week, a month, all the notifications that you would need in terms of a small vulnerability in your pipe is detected. If you have a leaky toilet, if you have a leaky faucet, or the catastrophic protection. So if you have a catastrophic burst and the ability for the device to actually automatically shut off your water is completely free and comes with the product when you buy it. So the app, no charge to get the app. There is a $5 optional subscription fee that you can kind of upgrade your app to, which allows you to get a couple more years on the warranty, a letter that you can send to your insurance company. It also gives you access to our water concierge, which allows you to help troubleshoot problems in your home. And then lastly, it gives you actual fixture data usage.
Right.
So it's just an extra level of kind of use out of the app with the subscription. But to get the product, what you need it to do is absolutely no charge in the app.
Susie, do you have, is it one product that is pretty universal for most homes? Is there a... Do you have like a manufactured recommended price for the product that you can share with the listeners?
So we have, in terms of the inline device, we have three different sizes based on your home's water line.
I see.
So we have a 3/4 inch device, a 1 inch device, and then an 1.25 inch for our larger homes.
Right.
So depending on what your home's water lines are, that's how you would select the device. And then the 3/4 inch device starts out at $499.
Okay. And then plus, obviously, the professional installation. I think
correct.
That this makes...
Which varies by region.
Yeah. This is such an interesting idea. I remember when this product first came out, and the fact that Moen has partnered with them, I think, is such a really neat idea, because, you know, you guys are just such a credible company. And, you know, I get phone calls from people all the time going, oh, I'm going to go down to Florida, you know, for a month, and should I shut the water off? And while I'm an advocate of that, it also can cause a bunch of problems. And here you install a product like this, gosh, the peace of mind is just incredible. And the potential savings, if there was some issue, is huge, because it just right at the main shuts that water off if there's a problem.
Exactly. And that we hear that a lot when we're talking to people. I mean, the statistic is 40% of homeowners will experience catastrophic water damage. So when you talk about this type of product, you always have somebody in the crowd who has had a personal experience with water damage in their home or knows somebody that has. And the amount of money that they paid to rectify that damage mm-hmm. surpasses what you would pay to install a product like this.
All right. How do people find out more about these products and other products that Moen manufactures and sells?
Sure. So this year, just the beginning of this year, we launched, in addition to the Flow by Moen portfolio, the Smart Water Detector, which is a standalone sensor. So you can add it with the main line shutoff, and it will actually monitor water in your home that may be outside of your home's system. So you can put that in your basement to detect, you know, natural flooding, or you could put it underneath the sink in case you have a drain pipe that's leaking that the Flow by Moen inline wouldn't detect. It actually mm-hmm. can send an alert to your Flow to shut that off. So we launched that this year at CES, and we'll be at KBiz in next week, so you can hear all about our new products in the media, and then also online, of course, on Moen.com. We'll have a bunch of information, and our products will be shipping with the new products will be shipping within a month. So you can go to Amazon.com, any e-tailer online to hear about our products.
That's awesome. Susie Street, Moen Product Manager, Digital and IoT, talking about the new smart water systems that they have, Flow by Moen. Susie, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. It's time to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You jump into the car with your briefcase, rushing to an important business meeting, hit the garage door remote, and nothing happens. Now what?
Green Tea Services, service to a green tea.
Hi, it's Tonya Khoury for my family business, Green Tea Services. Right now, we have a garage door maintenance special. Our trained technicians come out and adjust the springs, check the cables, inspect the rollers, tighten hinges, and give your door and opener a complete lubrication. All for just $47.
Service to a green tea.
Garage doors fail when you least expect it. Don't get stuck in or out of your garage. Call for our $47 garage door maintenance special. Call Green Tea now for details. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
Well, all this rain and snow has got to go somewhere, right? Hopefully not in your basement or crawl space. Did you know that winter is the best time to waterproof your basement or crawl? With PermaSeal's flexible scheduling, financing options, along with their price assurance guarantee, there's no need to wait for the ground to thaw to fix the problem. Call PermaSeal today, 800-421-7325, to schedule your free estimate with one of their certified consultants. Now, they're going to inspect your foundation inside and out, then provide you with a dependable solution. Water and structural problems don't go away. In fact, they're only going to get worse. Since 1979, homeowners all over Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana have trusted PermaSeal. They are a Chicago Tribune top workplace and have twice received a Better Business Bureau Torch Award for marketplace ethics. You can feel confident calling the best. For a dry basement and healthy home, you know who to call. PermaSeal. 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-7325. Or visit permaseal.net. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Gene is in Lansing. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
I moved into a home in 2013. I replaced the sump pump in 2014. I have a Zoller backup system. In these years, I've never known whether that system has ever kicked on or not. So out of curiosity and wanting to have more information, I called Milne Plumbing saying, should I get a new sump pump? What do I know? Anyway, he said for the Zoller, he said, have you ever lifted the rod? It's like squeaking an oily wheel. And I said, no. Well, I lifted the rod, and the rod fell to the bottom of the pit. So I called. He suggested a plumber. The plumber came out, no charge, retrieved the rod. But both he and his son separately said, oh, that's a really old system. I think that system was put in maybe 1983. And so the plumber said, he said, the way you know whether or not, let me back up, when that rod came off, there was a very loud sound. Not an alarm, but a loud scraping. The worst word I could possibly use is mm-hmm. grinding noise.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited it down until they got there. He said the only way that I would know whether or not the backup system is working is to unplug it in the heavy rain and watch and see, unplug the sump pump in a heavy rain and watch and see if it was being sucked out by the backup pump. In the meantime, his son did say, you know, you need to get just a water system put in here. I'd rather be safe than sorry. And so my thoughts went to, and they weren't giving me a hard sell, but my thoughts went to, well, maybe it's time to replace the system, you know. And I did some research on water systems, and there was talk about wasting water, and what if there was a time when there was no, you know, all of that. My question is obvious. What?
Okay. A couple things. I'm turning, I got a little echo on your phone, so I'm just turning the volume down for just 1 second. So the fact that you have something you think is from 1983, the fact is sump pumps, main pumps, which it sounds like you've got a rod that already, you know, broke off of there, and they last about 7 years. They all go bad. And the backup systems, they don't last that long either. Now, have you ever replaced the battery in the system?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I bought the batteries. Yes, I have.
So you've done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So if it were me and it were my house, I would replace the entire system, the main pump, the backup system altogether. I am not a fan of the water-powered systems because they don't move as much water as regular systems. And if you do a good backup system, I mean, quite honestly, what you should be doing to get an estimate is I'd call PermaSeal. I mean, I just read their commercial, but this is what they do, and they can evaluate the basement. They can put in a main. They still use Zoller pumps, which are very good. Zoller pumps, Zoller, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. But they use those as mains, and then they have a backup system that moves the same amount of water as that main pump, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't.
I have some reservation about what you suggested, and I can. But anyway.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to use them, then I would talk to a plumber to install a main pump with a battery backup system. And you know, plumbers can pull stuff out of their warehouses that are a little bit higher quality and more durable than what you would find, you know, the do-it-yourself models that you may find at the home centers.
Right. Okay. All right.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's talk to Rod, who's in Orland Park. Hey, Rod, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, there.
How can I help you, sir?
Okay. I got a Rheem 2013 hot water tank. The pilot light keeps going out. Put a new thermocouple on there. Cleaned the orifice out. Put it back on. Everything worked for about an hour. Then everything went out. Then last night, put the pilot light only on, and it stayed on.
So but it's you probably got an issue with your gas valve. You said this is 2013?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're 6 years old. I mean, you could have an issue with the gas valve. If the thermocoupler's been changed, the pilot light still stays on. So then that tells you that the pilot light is fine, and there's an issue with the gas valve or the burner. So it might still be under warranty, depending on the date. There's usually a 5 to 6 year warranty on some of those, and Rheem may send you the gas valve for free if you have the serial number. And you contact them, you might be able to get that gas valve. Now, is that something you could do yourself or you'd want some help with?
No, I've had it all apart already several times. But one thing that does happen, you know, the pilot light does go out too. If I put the unit to run on hot and it starts up an hour later, everything goes out. But I just tried it for the heck of it and just put the pilot light only and it stayed on. But before this, for about 2 days, 3 days,
yeah.
To get it all working, everything works fine, heats up the tank, then all of a sudden you go downstairs, everything was out.
Tell me about the venting. Is it venting into a, where is the vent for the water heater going into?
The chimney.
So it goes into like a brick chimney?
Right, well it's piped out, and I can't tell. It's not a brick one, but it's just piped up going through the roof somewhere.
Okay, so it's a metal, like a B-vent inside the wall. It's not going into a masonry.
Right, right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So then, you know, a backdraft with a B-vent like that's probably not, you know, you're probably not getting, you know, a backdraft coming down, blowing it out. And, I mean, you know, by the time you, if Rheem doesn't give you a new gas valve, and you got to buy a new gas valve and do it all there, you might be close to wanting to just put a new heater in.
Right.
And that, and go with one that's an electronic ignition, not a pilot.
Right.
Which is what most modern ones are now.
Now, online, I was looking. It says something about the vent underneath the rings.
Yeah, so on, depending on the heater you have, you when you look at the bottom of the heater, is there like a screen around the perimeter of it?
Yes. And inside, right. When you pull the whole thing out, there's a screen in there. Plus, it's even got that little oil glass.
Right. Sight box. And is that all clean?
Well, I vacuumed it out and I blew it out, you know, gently.
Yeah, because that's where you're getting your combustion air from. So, I mean, as long as that's clear and we can get, you know, air in there to feed that, I mean, that, you know, it could be that if it's clogged or that little glass cover, I mean, the glass cover's there, you know, for protection, but you want to keep that on. And that vent underneath there, it's got to be able to breathe so it has combustion. If it's not getting any combustion air, it won't stay lit.
Right. Now, the glass I'm talking about, it's in the center. When you
Correct.
Put everything out, it's got oil in it, I guess they said. It's like oil in it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the oil part of it.
Yeah, it's some kind of a safety in case it overheats, it'll shut it down.
Got
it. But the glass looks good. The oil, little oil still in there. It looks
Got
like
it.
A
castle. Oh, I do know what you're talking about. Okay, so check the venting. If this doesn't work, your next thing to check, or the venting on the bottom, but your next thing to check is the gas valve on it. That would be my next logical move for you. But then, you know, okay. If all of a sudden you're spending $300 on a gas valve, if you don't get it for free.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you're doing all this, you're going to be the guy that's swapping out the heater, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. So if you go buy a new heater, you know, you can find them pretty good deals on heaters. You could probably buy, well, what is it, a 50-gallon, 40-gallon?
That's a 40.
So you buy a 40-gallon heater with an electronic ignition. You're going to need a receptacle to plug it in somewhere, but you could probably buy that for $500.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay, Lou, that sounds great. Thank you for your help.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Joanne in Chicago. Hi, Joanne. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I just have a simple question. I want to know of a reputable air duct cleaner because I'm not a believer, but I think it would be a good idea. I live in a house that's about 20. I'm married into this house. My husband's lived here 20 years.
Right.
He had two pugs. They shed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the dust, and it just bothers me, but I just don't believe that they can really get anything.
Okay, so let me ask you this. All that dust that you talk about, when that furnace kicks on and the cold air return goes, don't you think that cold air return gets it? It pulls it in and puts it into that ductwork.
Of course.
And then, of course, right. So what happens
is... Well, now the dogs are gone.
Right. But
it's still sitting in there.
Right, but when you get the right people to come clean it, they're going to use not only a vacuum cleaner, but they're going to use like this air whip, and they're going to loosen it up, kind of bang around inside the thing to loosen it all up, and then blow with this whip and then vacuum with the giant heavy duty vacuum cleaner. So we have a sponsor, Dykstra Home Services, that does duct cleaning, and they use this whole system to do all this, and I would call them. Dykstra,
okay.
DykstraHomeServices.com.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And then when we're done, you know what's going to happen, Joanne? You're going to be a believer.
Really?
And we're going to sing
we'll find out.
We're going to sing that monkey song together. And then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. No doubt in my mind. 312, what would you like me to do?
I thought you were going to keep going.
I'm in love. Ooh. Okay, what would you like me to do now? Take a break. Lou Manfredini, I'm a believer. We'll be right back. So welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200. WGN News coming up in just a second. Joining me on the phone line right now is Chuck. He's in Glen Allen. Hey, Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, how are you today?
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I was just listening to the Flow by Moen discussion that you happen to have.
Yep.
And the rep missed a couple points. We have been working with the Flow folks since the product became available last year. I work for a plumbing contractor, and we're actually an authorized plumbing installation partner of theirs.
Okay.
And the one really cool thing about this product is that you do have the app, and while you can get an alert and it'll shut your water off in a catastrophic event,
right,
you can monitor your daily water usage, and it will tell you flow rate and temperature. So polar vortex last year, before your pipes flood, you know the temperature, so you can do something about it to safely cool or warm those pipes up. Secondly, 20% of all toilets leak. It's the number that we have been using. So even if it's a small leak, there's no water on the floor, that's where their algorithm picks up that minor up to one drop a minute leak. And it'll send you an alert, and you can start investigating that, and you're literally not flushing money down the toilet.
Yeah. You
have that rectified.
Yeah.
And the third thing is we've had an industrial customer where there were two identical buildings, just small office buildings. One had a $300,000 water bill over 3 years, and the other one was what you'd call normal. We installed the product, did an analysis of it, and found out that even though the city and the suburbs said that the water meter was good, it was bad.
Hmm.
Changed out the water meter. We got them the money back from the village.
Wow.
So there's a lot you can do. And on a lighter note, if you have a teenager that takes half-hour showers, you can knock on the door. I'll be on in 5 minutes. They don't come out. You just go to the app, and you flip that switch, and the water's off.
I hate you, Mom. I hate you, Dad. I can just hear that already. That's really good tips, Chuck. I really appreciate that. We mentioned that the if you go to Moen.com, you can find more information about Flow, and it sounds like Chuck's company is an authorized installer in the area as well. It's 9:01 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News. So I have a cousin. She's married to George McDowell. Anyone? Google? There's
Googling furiously.
George McDowell. You're still not there?
Google's got nothing for me.
He was the winning pitcher for the New York Mets in the 1986 World Series. He also was the pitching coach for the Atlanta Braves.
Are you sure?
Yes! Say my name. Come on! I can Google it right here. Come on, here, look, my gosh. Oh, no, it's not George. It's Roger.
Thank you.
Say my name. Missed it by that much.
Yeah, definitely not getting invited to Thanksgiving this year. Now back to Moo Lanfredini on House Smarts Radio. Say
my name. Just so you know, last week I was in New York and I had dinner with Roger's daughter. So evidently he's forgiven me. Or she doesn't listen to the show.
I was going to say, you're going to take a stab at Roger's daughter's name?
Amanda. She's lovely.
You sure about that?
And I am. Completely. This hour of House Smarts Radio at 9:12 in the morning, sponsored by Dexter Home Services and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. What's really in a name? How about you be you and I'll be me? Huh? How about that? 312.
All right, Bob.
312. Yeah, he said that. You be you, I'll be me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone calls. This is Chuck in Chicago. Hey, Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
So, my wife and I have a house that was renovated 4 years ago. And when they did it, they installed a sump pump and also an injector pump. When they did the injector pump, all the plumbing goes to the injector pump instead of just the basement plumbing. That seems odd to me. Your thoughts?
All the plumbing from above?
Yep. I flush the toilet on both floors, and you can tell it's going to the injector pump.
Yeah. Now, do you have, you obviously have overhead sewers? Like, do you, where, so when that, the pipe comes out of the ejector pit, where does it go?
Well, as we're in the basement, which is, you know, roughly, you know, 6 feet below ground level, there's a clean out hole with a cover in the wall, and you can tell that that's, that goes pretty much horizontally to the street. And so that's below grade.
Right, but it's above the basement floor.
Yes.
Right, so any plumbing above that point, so you, so in other words, in that basement, part of your addition is you've got a bathroom or bathrooms above your head that got added in.
Yes, a second story was added to the house.
As well as a first story.
Well, the first story was renovated. It was always there.
Right, but did they take that and put that into the ejector pit too?
Yes, everything.
Yeah, no, that is. And when did we do this work?
They did in, we bought the house in 16, so they did it in 15.
Oh, so it was done before you got there?
Yes.
I mean, so here's the thing. The ejector pit is really, you know, the principle behind it is it's supposed to handle any waste or water or any sewage that is below grade and below the sewer line to then capture it and then pump it up into the sewer line. Anything that's above that, you have gravity working towards you and you don't need that pit. And so, I mean, in theory, does it work? Sure, but you're going to wear out that pump and, you know, you could be up there taking a shower and, you know, that pump stops working and all of a sudden your basement floods.
Exactly. That's my thoughts. So there is a full bath, and then in the utility room, there's a washer and dryer. So we hardly ever use the bath, but the washer gets used weekly, obviously. But yeah, as you're saying, you know, everything upstairs dumps into it, and it's running 10, 20 times a day.
Yeah. Now, when you go to the basement, do you so you said you see that clean out there, but is there like how big of a line comes down and goes into that pit? Is it an inch and a half or larger?
Oh, I haven't looked at it in a while, but I'm sure it's larger than that.
Okay, because it should be larger than just an inch and a half line. You need a plumber to come, and where you see that clean out, they can remove that clean out, add a Y or a T so that you will extend the clean out into the space, and then reroute any plumbing that is above grade into the sewer system and bypass that ejector pit so that that's only servicing the washer, dryer, and the bathroom down below.
Okay, that was my thoughts. I just want proof for the wife and myself for that.
Well, that is what's interesting to me is that it would have passed inspection.
Well, speaking of inspection, our sump pump gets dumped into the same waistline instead of going outside. I'm pretty positive that's not code.
That is, well, you're in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, so in Chicago, it's because it's a combination storm sewer, they would appreciate if you don't do that, but if you're going to affect the neighbors, then that is allowed. But the fact that these above-grade things went in there, it either didn't get inspected or it got inspected and somebody got a free lunch.
Right. Yes. There's several other things like that around the house.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. You know, I it's funny, Lindsay. I told Lindsay a story we were driving in this morning. The rules are the rules until they're not, right? Until somebody says, oh, no, it's fine. It's whatever. I got to go to lunch. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's 9:17 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here at the House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Let's talk with Tim, who's in Aurora. Tim, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
I am doing great, sir.
Lou, I've got a question for you. I've got a home that was built in 1995.
Okay.
And forced air is the heating system.
Okay.
Gas. And about maybe 10 years after we lived here, I noticed that the vent that comes up out of the furnace and goes into the main stack, that there was a chalky white residue that was dripping down the vent line. And anyway, about 5 years ago, I replaced the furnace, and it didn't correct the problem. I did have the roof replaced, and they did replace the boot that goes around the vent up on top. So I'm just wondering what could cause that. Do you have any ideas?
This is a an 80% furnace that you're venting with a metal pipe into a masonry chimney?
No, it's not masonry. It's a galvanized pipe that goes straight up through the house, goes up to the roof.
Okay. And so that could be moisture from the furnace when it creates the moisture, and that water is calcifying. And so typically when I see this, or you see the evidence of this, it's if you go into a masonry chimney and you've got a, you know, even an 80% furnace like you have right now, it is when it, if it has to go really high, it doesn't, they don't create, they don't lose as much heat as they used to. And so that run for that venting may cause the air not to evacuate fully, and that moisture, in particular in that first portion of the, you know, the venting comes in there, and as it turns the corner and goes up, it could be catching there, and because it's cold outside on really cold days, the exhaust can tend to roll inside the pipe as it goes out, and it gathers moisture as it rolls, and then it comes back into the conditioned space of the basement, you know, which is warmer, obviously, than in that wall space. And that's where you can get that calcification in water and moisture. Now, in that unit, when you take the, you probably have an inducer motor when you take the top off, and you should see on that inducer motor probably a little rubber hose that comes off of that, that then goes to the drain, and it's supposed to catch that moisture. Now, I assume you've cleaned this pipe off.
Yeah, I cleaned it off, and I also took you know, the that metal tape that you can get, and I wrapped all the joints and everything, and
it
didn't really make any difference.
Right.
It still drips on and off.
And you see dripping.
I've never seen a drip. That's what's weird, you know. It only does it when I'm not around. So
right. Is he around here? Know? Let's do it now. I mean in this vent where the furnace goes, does anything else vent into that as well?
There's the water heater is in the same room as the furnace, and the vent from the water heater comes up, and it kind of like joins together with the furnace vent, and then it hits that main stack going right straight up out of the house.
Does it hit it in a Y or a T?
You know what? That's a good question. Let me go look.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Because if it's a T, I may want you to change that to a Y, because then what could be happening is when that furnace is, or when the water heater's going, when it hits that, it's forcing air going both ways, and that can cause a moisture issue.
Okay, so I'm looking at it right now, and it's a, I guess it's like a 4 or 6 inch vent that comes out of the furnace.
Right.
It comes up, it's about maybe 8 feet from the furnace is the main stack.
Right.
The water heater, the vent coming out of that, it comes in and it joins at a T connection right off of the main vent coming out of the furnace.
Right. So I bet you that issue is the moisture coming from the water heater backdrafting a little bit into the system. And here's the other thing. So it connects low, like closer to the furnace than the wall?
No, it's up high. The water heater comes in and it goes, it's about a foot from the main stack.
Going up.
The main stack, so if that's up real high.
All right, so here's what I would do. I would change that connection to a Y.
Okay.
And so you'd have a straight connection coming off the furnace, because you have more BTUs probably coming off the furnace. You could double check that, but you're probably at an 80,000, 85,000 BTU, maybe even 100,000 on that. and your water heater, you know, is probably anywhere from 40 to 60,000, depending on if it's high recovery or not. But I would change the T to a Y to come in so that you form a more, you know, the chance of it backdrafting coming down and causing that whipping of moisture goes away. And I bet you if you make that a Y and you make sure that when you do that, take a little, you know, you can buy this little thing called a drain lizard. It's like 40 bucks. It runs off batteries. It's got like a 3 foot long snake on it with a light and a camera, and the picture quality is pretty good. You can get it at the hardware store, and stick that drain lizard up into that venting when you take it apart. Just make sure there's no bird in there or squirrel or whatever, that it looks pretty clear at that point. Change that to a Y, put it all back together, clean up that piping, maybe even replace the piping. It could be that you, because of the age of it, that it, you know, you've got an old galvanized pipe that the galvanization can come off a little bit, and you could be getting some electrolysis or something that could cause that. Maybe replace all that venting, put the Y in there, and if you do all that, you should be okay.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk with Darlene in Fox Lake. Hi, Darlene.
Well, good morning, Lou. I've been a listener of yours for years and years, and I have a problem.
Thank you for listening for years and years. I really appreciate that.
I live in a 42-year-old duplex, and I have popcorn ceilings. The one panel in the living room is beginning to bow.
You mean the ceiling?
Yes.
Okay.
And my neighbor had the similar thing. Hers started to crack, and the entire ceiling fell down.
Oh, gosh.
It was horrible. It was the most terrible thing. So I've had a couple of companies come out, and one, I want them to put new drywall over the popcorn ceiling.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could recommend someone. I've had from an individual to a general contractor. They say, yes, they can do that, and then they never send me a proposal or come back.
Well, I'm not. You know, the thing is, to add additional drywall and weight up there and just go right over the top, it would be. Let me ask you this. This ceiling on this duplex, is that the, is there an attic space above that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's, what is it supposed to be, your studs or whatever you call those things?
Ceiling joists, and then you'll have...
The joists are supposed to be 16 to 18. These are 20.
Oh, wow. So is it trusses?
The trusses.
Okay. All right. So.
And not only that, when they installed these panels, they installed them with nails instead of screws.
Right. Right.
And so now those nails are starting to say, I'm tired, I'm 42 years old.
Okay. How about this? Instead of having, like, replacing the drywall, how about having a painting contractor come and install screws into that existing ceiling space?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and maybe just having them remove the popcorn ceiling, which is not a inexpensive or fun job whatsoever. But
no,
they can,
no.
Right, but my point, Darlene, is you'll spend the same money putting new drywall up, taping it, finishing it, and then you have to redo, you know, you got to do all the corners and you've got to retape everything. And now you're adding more weight to that ceiling and you run the risk of it cracking. You know, the whole reason they use that popcorn ceiling with a truss roof is you get more movement out of it. And once you go to a smooth ceiling, you run the risk of showing more cracks because there's nothing to hide it in the popcorn. I get it. I'm not a fan of the popcorn ceiling, but how big of an area are we talking about?
The living room is approximately 12 by 15.
Right. I mean, they'll spray it, they'll scrape it, They'll put new screws in to hold it all in place, and then they'll, you know, they'll do the patching and paint the ceiling. That actually, in my mind, is a better use of your money than re-drywalling the whole thing. And I would, what I would do is go to the NARI website, NARI.org, NARI.org, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. Look for a painting contractor, drywall contractor in your area to come and do that work. I don't have a specific name for you there, but that's what I would do. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We've got some open phone lines. If you'd like to call in, we've got a half hour left in our show this morning. We'd love to talk to you. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I love
of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Kibitzer, welcome back. When the papa found out, he began to shout, and he started the investigation. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 9:34 in the morning, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Don's in Elmhurst. Donald, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
Long-time listener.
Thank you very much for being a long-time listener. I like that. Thank you.
I have a tri-level. And in the crawl space on the facing wall outside, I developed a leak in the foundation. Would like to fix that from the inside only. Does somebody like PermaSeal do something like that?
100%. You know, the it's funny. I was talking this morning earlier with someone about the fact, well, I know we can go outside and dig a hole and put a membrane. Really, nobody does that anymore because the technology and the stuff that they use now, Donald, is
the expanding epoxies.
Yeah, and what you know, what they'll end up doing on those is they'll actually drill a few holes into the crack and they'll put these little sleeves in there. And what that does is it allows them to take with a kind of a very thin, you know, the stuff that they use. You can't buy. I mean, I guess you could buy it, but. The urethane is warm. They warm it up, and so it flows better. And when they put that in, they're able to put enough material in there that it goes all the way through the crack and goes to the outside. So, you know, essentially, it seals it from the outside, fills the whole void in there, and then this stuff is so strong, it actually bonds the foundation wall and can actually help it in small ways from structurally moving to keep it sealed.
Is that a costly process?
I mean, you know, it can be less than $1,000, depending
okay.
on. I mean, but
okay.
it can also be more than that. You know what I mean? It all depends on access and what's involved. But I mean, you know, if you kind of banked on $1,200 or so as the number, and you were either north or south of that a little bit, that's probably a realistic estimate for that.
One other thought. In my rec room downstairs, below the window that looks out, about 20 years ago, I had water come in there in the foundation. I dug down and with my dad, and we put a seal in there and a vapor barrier and seal on top of that. It lasted. Last year, I had a leak again. Is that the best way to approach that?
Well, and you said it's under a window?
Under a window in a rec room that has finished walls.
Oh,
and
so you can't get at it from the inside?
No, I can't.
And it's not a bay window or anything like that, is it? Just
it's a bay window.
Oh, boy. Who's going to dig that now 20 years later?
Well, my dad's passed,
yeah.
So I can't get his help.
And you can't make a warranty claim with the old man either. That's too bad.
No, and
God rest
his
soul.
I'm up there in age also.
Got it. Well, I mean, I think that here's the thing. When you get the PermaSeal folks out there to take a look at that crack, right, the consultation's free.
Right.
Talk to them about this. Tell them what you did, and maybe they can come up with a solution. They may say to you, Donald, we need to open up that wall so we can fix the crack on the inside too, but maybe they can offer you a different solution. It all okay. depends.
Thank you so much. Do you have a number for ThermoSeal?
As a matter of fact, I do. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
800-421-SEAL. S-E-A-L.
Lou, thank you so much, and more success to you in the future.
Oh, you're a good man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Joan, where are you?
Mantino.
Oh, Mantino. So this, you know,
Mantino.
Can I tell you something? Because this cracks me up. So my producer, who I've worked with for a very long time, she's super smart. She's beautiful. She's a lovely mother. And she's actually an excellent speller. Like I never knew that being on a radio show, I would have to spell as much as I have to spell. And I'll spell something and she'll look at me and she'll go, she'll kind of cock her head like, you know, where the dog hears a sound type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then she'll go, no, I think it's an E. And she's, I would say, 99% of the time, right. There's two words she cannot spell on the screen. Batavia. She always spells it Botavia. And Mantino, she put Mantina. So there you go.
You knew what I meant.
I knew what you meant. I just wanted to make sure. I never heard of Mantina. Mantino, I've been through.
I think the guy and that works days and does the business thing, he's from here, like from 100 years ago.
Steve is from...
I thought he said Mantino.
Yeah, either Mantino or Madison.
100 years ago, that's Steve.
I'm sure he loves that.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he does have the Gorton's fisherman beard now. That's okay. Oh, how can I help you? Let's talk. Joan, it's about you, not about how old Steve Bertrand is.
It's about my gross bathroom. So on Christmas Day, the shower started to not drain down there. And when it did start to drain, I plunged it and it came up around the base of the toilet. So I called the Roto-Rooter guy.
Right.
And he checked the ejector and said that the float was stuck with whatever. So whatever he did, I don't even know if it did anything, because it smelled a little then, but now it smells like an outhouse. I've been in better outhouses.
Okay, wait. Over Christmas, the toilet, you plunged the toilet and it came up under the toilet at the floor.
No, I plunged the shower because my son was in there and he was like standing in ankle-deep water. It would just all of a sudden stop draining.
Okay, and then is this a first-floor bathroom, second-floor
basement?
Basement bathroom, okay.
And it drains to the ejector, which is literally right next to it.
Got it.
The ejector is newer. We've replaced it. It's probably 10 years old.
Right.
So now you go down there, and you can't even walk in there. It's like a wall.
Okay, well, now,
this wax seal.
What we have is so that smell, if you plunge the shower and it comes up on the toilet, the sewer line that it connects to is where the clog is.
Okay, so,
And so you probably, in order to fix this, need to pull the toilet, and either your husband or a plumber, and Steve did grow up in Mantino. And it's spelled
it's spelled
Mantino.
It is.
You're going to have someone either televise that sewer or run a rod down there, and it should go to the ejector pit. That should be completely clear and clean to the ejector.
Okay, so it needs to be like videoed or whatever.
I mean, it's such a short run, probably. Like, how close is that pit to the bathroom?
It's the other side of the wall.
Oh, so it's right there. So
yeah, it's literally right there.
I don't think you need to pay to televise it. I think you need someone to pull the toilet and run the rod down there, because that clog is where the shower and the toilet meet at some point, and that's where it is. And they just, you see, when you have a plumber that doesn't know what they're doing with a rotter, a lot of times what happens is they'll go down the pipe and go, yeah, it's all free. But what happens is if they're inexperienced, and sometimes some of the big chains of these rotting companies, you know, they're like, hey, you've got a pulse.
I didn't know a plumber. So
right. No. But then all of a sudden the rod goes up the vent. It doesn't go down the pipe. Literally. And the thing is, it's easy to do. Like, I mean, it's happened to me. where I think I've got it all solved, and then I get friends of mine who are experienced plumbers, and they look at me like, hey, rookie. And, you know, they know it's a whole, when you're using a machine and you have a plumber that knows what they're doing, they know how it feels and they know how to direct it. And it's a little like in the blind world, but now because that whole televisation of sewer lines is coming, you know, it's a lot less expensive than it used to be. Almost all of them carry a camera now and they can double check right away. You know, they don't want the callback. They want to solve the problem, get paid, and go on to the next job. So we need a good quality plumber in Manteno. Home of Steve Bertrand.
Yeah, well, those don't exist. I don't think we're here. No offense. All right.
I appreciate you calling this morning. Thanks so much. 9:44 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. Come on.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Get a trumpet speaker.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lucy. Oh, Lucy. I love the name Lucy.
So do I.
Lucy, if I was going to have another child and it was a daughter, I would name it. I would name her either Lucy or Mabel.
I like Lucy better.
Well, sure. Of course you do. Your name is Lucy. Yeah. Well, how can I help you, Lucy?
Thank you. Well, thanks again. I have flooring in a house. I've been here just over a year.
Okay.
And it's gray and it's very dull. And I misspoke when I spoke to Lindsay. I think they put it in just before I moved in. They had to do some work to the house, the previous owner.
Okay.
And I think they put whatever they could in, and it doesn't look too bad, except for the fact that it always looks to me dusty or dirty.
Well, you say it's gray, but what is it? Is it ceramic? Is it vinyl? What is it?
It's laminate flooring.
Okay.
Throughout the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's anything I can put on it to give it a little, not a lot of shine, but just a little bit of shine.
Okay, so there is a product called Rejuvenate. That makes a product that you can put over a hard surface floor like that to put a sheen back on it.
Okay.
And so it's a top coating, and so it is, it's going to look amazing when you're done. Do you have any dogs or animals?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
So you're going to clean the floor. You're going to move the furniture out, as you can, and you're going to use a synthetic mop that they give you, and you're going to mop your way out of it, and you're going to put this shine on, and you're going to call a friend and go for a nice long lunch.
Okay.
And you're going to come back in a couple of hours, and you're going to have a nice shine on this floor. Now,
okay,
a year or two from now, I mean, are you walking around in your high heels there, Lucy?
Not too often.
Okay, well, when you do, you're going to, when you're thinking about looking pretty and you're going out on the town, that kind of stuff wears into the floor. You want to make sure you have felt pads underneath everything to kind of, pull it out. But then you're going to see that it's going to wear out, and maybe a year or two from now, you're going to redo it again. The bottle's $12.
Okay, all right.
Rejuvenate, where are you, Hoffman Estates? If you go to the Ace, they have a bottle of this Rejuvenate. They make, I believe, if I'm right about this, they have one that's designed for hardwood floors, and they have one that's designed for hard surface floors. That's the one you want.
Okay, because I used the one for hardwood floors in my previous home.
No.
And I loved it.
Right, you're going to use the one for the hard surface floors, and it's going to work out just fine for you. Thanks so much. It's 9:50 in the morning. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening. James Sears for doing the news. Joe Brand, always nice to see you on a Saturday morning on sports. Bob Ferguson for keeping us on the air and pushing all the buttons. And Lindsay Smithwick for being producer extraordinaire. You know, our last caller, who is Charles in Schererville. Charles, you are getting a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Development, Chicagoland's premier home remodeler. For kitchens, baths, windows, siding, and more, call Cobblestone Development at 773-661-0606 or visit cobblestonedevelopment.com. Charles, how can I help you this morning?
Oh, good morning, Lou. It's great to speak to you.
What's going on?
All right. I've got a bathroom. Moved to Schererville, Indiana, and it's the bathroom down in the basement. So there's a leak in the back, okay?
A leak in the back? Wait. A leak in the back of the toilet?
Yes, correct. And what I identify was the mesh hose coming from the water source into the toilet itself in the back.
Right.
Going in with the plastic coupler there.
Right at the fill valve where it connects to the tank?
That is correct, Lou.
Okay.
But secondary, when you flush, it goes down and it's refilling now. I'm still hearing the water going and going and going. I raised the lid and the water's still going, and I'm looking at this drip in the back. I could understand the drip, you know what I'm saying, with the leak, but why is the water inside still going?
Now, when you take the lid off the toilet, you see that there's an overflow pipe, right?
Yes, correct.
Is the water up at that level and it's draining down that pipe?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Right. Now, when you look at that fill valve, do you have a float ball with an arm, or is it a plastic, float that's kind of around the vertical rod that's to the left?
Yes, it's the plastic with the vertical rod.
All right. Correct. And do you see that there is a, on that float, is there like a little stainless steel arm with a couple of little things you could put your finger and pinch it to drive the float down to the bottom of the tank?
Yes, from the handle, from the plastic extended arm to the chain.
Right. So two things. One is we need to lower the water level in the toilet so that the water level is about a half an inch below that overflow pipe. And so that float either has a screw at the top or these little pinchers. You're going to pinch it, and you're going to push the float towards the bottom of the toilet so that it raises sooner and closes the valve so it doesn't leak. So that's A number one.
Right.
On that flexible hose that comes up, you say it's leaking where the hose connects to the fill valve?
Yes, and I'm looking at it.
Well, I'm losing you a little bit. I'm losing you as you're down on your knees looking under the toilet. This is good radio. Yeah. It's a good luck.
Yeah. But the thing is that the hose itself, there is rust. You can tell it was leaking for a few, whatever amount of time.
So two things. It may be as easy as just tightening that nut.
Okay.
Or you may have to replace the hose. So what I would do with those flexible ones, what's important with that, a lot of times they lean to the side a little bit, and when you tighten them, they don't seal. I want you to get a small wrench, not a big wrench, because the mistake that everybody makes is they get this giant wrench on this little nut, and they crank it with all this leverage, and then you snap it.
Yes.
So I want you to get a small wrench that fits that nut, which is probably, if you have wrenches, I think it's probably a 7/16, might be a half inch. You're going to hold you're going to hold that flexible water line so it's straight up and down.
All right.
And then you're going to take that little wrench and you're just going to tighten it like half a turn, a quarter of a turn, just enough so when you go with the wrench, it's nice and snug. And then to see if it still leaks, one of the tricks is take a little toilet paper, wrap it around that nut. You know, once you dry it all off, and then see if that toilet paper gets wet. If the toilet paper still gets wet, then maybe we have to replace that hose, which then you got to turn the water off, you know, at the wall, and then replace that hose with the new flexible line. But you do those two things, and I think that you'll be good to go. So I appreciate the phone call. Glad you got the House Smarts hat, which is still in production. So I want to tell people, be patient. We're still making tweaks, as it were, to celebrate 25 years here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a terrific weekend. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio. Stand by now for WGN Radio News.